Yadayim Yedayesa. So how do we learn this pasuk in Yeshiva Katana? Is the beginning of the pasuk is Kul Shevach. It's a reference to Klal Yisrael, HaKoil Kol Yaakov, that Klal Yisrael is a double koil. Could be Rashi says this, the koil of Torah and the koil of Tefillah. When Klal, this is what Hashem gave, the weapon that Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael. He gave us a weapon that is a weapon of the koil. It's Torah and Tefillah. Of course, you have to do Ishtadlus. Person has to do his ishtalus. You have to have the best army, the best tanks, and the best military, and all the money, and be on good terms with the United States, and do everything you can possibly do. But in your frame of mind, one should never forget that the fuel that energizes the success of Klal Yisrael is the kol Yaakov, which is the kol of Torah. And the call of tefillah. And then the pasuk says, V'hayodai, you mean the Esav. Esav, they don't know from this. Esav, they just use their hands. They're dangerous. They're vicious. They are a violent nation. And then Chazal say that if you are successful in working with a kol Yaakov, you don't have to worry about the Yadayim Yidei Esav. The kol Yaakov will cancel, will be an antidote to the Yodayim Yidei Esav. Okay, this is what I just told you now is a very common interpretation of the pasuk, which is very beautiful, and these are words that are 100% emes, accurate, correct, and very meaningful.
But Yitzchok said the Esav was a bracha.
How do you put in the frame of mind? No, so their pshat is okay. I already just said a joke. Let's go back to the pshat. The pshat is that Yitzchok says, "Come here, my child. Let me feel you. Something doesn't make sense. I'm planning on giving the blessings to my son Esav. Something is not right. It's the nuance of expression, your edelkeit, your sensitivity. Something isn't right. I'm blind." Something is, let me feel you, because I know that my son Esav is a hairy man, and my son Yaakov, Ish Cholok, doesn't have much hair on his arms. Let me feel you. He feels him, and he says, HaKol Kol Yaakov, the way you speak is like Yaakov, but the Hayadayim Yidei Esav, but I feel the hair. And the proof is in the pudding. You can't deny the fact that you are Esav, because Esav has, it must be that you've done teshuvah. If you're speaking with such beautiful expressions of edelkeit, it must be that you've taken some lessons in homiletics. Okay, Yaakov Avinu taught you how to speak, so therefore my determination is indeed you are Esav, because between the two, the more definitive proof that you indeed are Esav are the Yodayim. If the Yodayim feel like the hands of Esav, it must be that indeed you are indeed Esav. And new in this, that you sound like Yaakov, no, so that could happen. That's not such a kasha. You've hung around Yaakov enough to learn how to speak in a polite method. But the proof, the DNA, is the psak halacha, and the DNA says that you are Esav because the Yodayim Yidei Esav. That's the pshuta shel mikra. Chazal make a beautiful drasha. Besides the pshat shel mikra, it says kol Yaakov, which means Torah and tefillah, and Esav is a man of violence. And if we excel in Torah Utzvila, it'll be an antidote to the Yodayim Yidei Esav. Okay, now the Gemara in Masechta.
It should be in conjunction with it. It's the koya of Esav that the Israel needs, and in conjunction with the Tefillah.
You're saying a different var, which we have to work through those steps. Okay, you're saying something true, but let's. Let's leave it for this. It's good. Saying is good, but we'll leave it for now because we have to go a little on a different path. Now, here's the Gemara Masechta Gittin, which is a very important Gemara that we have to use relating to the Yemei HaMitzar. The Gemara says, it says, we're not calling the Pasuk twice. And here the word koil, according to the Gemara, is not a positive word. It doesn't mean, the beautiful sound of tefillah. The beautiful sound of learning Torah. The word kol here is used in the Gemara, a sound of agony, a sound, a crying sound, a painful sigh that is coming forth out of Yaakov Avinu. Hakol ze and rayonus kesar shahorag Belexandria shel Mitzrayim, Shishim Ribo al Shishim Ribo, Kiflayim Kiyotzei Mitzrayim. This call leads to a Churban that we don't hear much about. In Egypt, there was a settlement of Jews, according to the Gemara, that was 1.2 million people. The famous Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, which the Gemara describes in very great detail, a Beis HaKnesses that it was able to hold an untold number of Jews. It was so magnificent, it was so large, you cannot hear the chazan. Not because people were talking during davening, but because the distance between the petitioner and the Shliach Tzibur was so far away, you just could not, the earwaves could not bring. They had a system of flags that they would use to indicate where they're up to daven. People were very organized. You sat in the Beis HaKnesses based upon your profession. If you were a computer programmer, there was a special section in the shul for computer programmers. If your expertise was in cybersecurity, there was a special section for cybersecurity experts. Okay, if you dealt only in bitcoins, they had a section for you. If you were old-fashioned woodchopper, they had a section for you as well. Everyone had their little section. Why? Because when this, think about how different it is than today's society. People, nothing, more things change, the more they stay the same. They were collectors who came to shul for money. Okay, collectors. They came with tzedlach. So the gabbai said, oh, you're a collector? Are you looking for a handout? Well, tell me your skills. What kind of skills do you have? Okay, go to this section of the Beis HaKnesses. Because there, you're not going to get a handout. You're going to get something a lot better. You're going to get a job offer. Okay, that's how amazing it was. The sections, that each section was the network of a guy comes to shul to collect, basically gets a job. We need someone that has your skills. You can do this, you're hired. That's what happened in shul. That's how they gave out tzedakah, by giving people jobs. Isn't that amazing? It was a job fair. When you come to daven, it was a job fair. What greater chesed can you do for a person than give them a job? Okay, and the Gemara goes on to describe this most magnificent shul, the community. And guess what? Now, when was this community, when it was in existence? There's a very big debate among the Paiskim when this shul was in existence. The Gemara seems to indicate that it existed in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, in the time of Alexander the Great. At the time of the beginning of the Malchus of Yavon, and Alexander the Great destroyed this Beis HaKnesses, obliterated this place off the face of the earth. Others disagree and say it took place much, much later, even possibly after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Much either during the tail end of the Bayis Sheni or even after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Big machlokes with the Gears and the Gemaris, the Gra insists that it cannot possibly be during the time of Alexander the Great. Had to be much, much later. And there's a Yerushalmi that supports what the Gra says. Some say there were two different stories, there were two different incidents. Whatever it is. But the Gemara here makes a very important point in telling us HaKoil, it was a very, very great tzara. It was a holocaust, a major holocaust, when this settlement in Egypt was decimated. Next words. It says, now HaKoil Yaakov, ze aspasionis kesar, shoharag bekrach betar, arba meo sribo. 400,000 Jews were killed in Beitar. The Amrila, some say Arbas Alofim Ribo, which means 40 million Jews. I mean, it sounds like an exaggeration. It's really hard to believe that. 40 million Jews. 40 million? Is it 4 million? Arbas,
you
right.
That factor of 400.
The Ribo, okay, I'm not even sure how to do the Mead, I'm a little confused. Whatever it is. Okay, whatever. Next. And now the pasuk concludes the Hayodayim Yidei Esav. Ze Malchus Harasha Rome Shechrivo es Botenu Vesarfo es Hecholenu Viglisanu Meartzenu. The last part of the pasuk, the Hayodayim Yidei Esav, refers to the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So here we have a pasuk, and one pasuk we're grouping together in the Gemara Masech the Gittin, which is Daf Nun Zayin, which is the Gemara, I mean, this is pretty basic stuff that we learn on Tisha B'Av, is grouping together three Churbanos. And these three Churbanos, they really capture the totality of Churban, There are five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. Two are the two Bati Mikdash were destroyed, and number four on the list was Beitar was destroyed. Now, it did not, the Churban over here does not say, the Churban over here of Alexander Shel Mitzrayim, now it's very interesting, it does not say that it was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, but there's a very important piece of Gemara which sheds a lot of light on this. It says here in the Gemara, how was Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim destroyed when the Caesars, this Andarionus Caesar, at least in our gear, so whoever he was the authority of Mitzrayim at this point in time. Even though it was during the time of Alexander the Great, he's the one who destroyed it, but I'm not clear on all the details. The Gemara of the year says, Andraionus Caesar Shehorag Belexandria Shel Mitzrayim, the 1.2 million people. It says in the Gemara that when Alexandria Caesar, he was married, and he had a baby, and a baby was born to him when? The night of Tisha B'Av. And even though this was, when this took place, it's not clear, but it appears that the Jewish people in Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim observed Tisha B'Av as a day of fasting, as a day of Avelus, and we know that to be true even during the time of the Bayis Sheni, they still fasted on Tisha B'Av, because of the five miracles that did not return in the Bayis Sheni. They did not have an Oroin, there was no Esh Min HaShemayim, there were other issues, and they still fasted. So word got back to Andarionus Caesar that the Jews, in reaction to the good news that a prince was born to the Caesar, are fasting. It was interpreted the wrong way. Fake news. They told him, you're celebrating that you have a child? The Jews are mourning. They hate you. They hate you. All of the anti-Semites, they use this as a way to go and cause sorrows. Tisha B'Av. Hanukkah time, this baby died due to complications, whatever reason. And the Jews, they lit Ner Hanukkah the first night, which was viewed as a celebration. Celebration for the death, when you light candles, that's a time of celebration. So the anti-Semite says, look at that. They're celebrating the death of your baby. When your baby was born on Tisha B'Av, they were fasting. And when it died on Hanukkah, they are celebrating. And this triggered a whole process where Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim was destroyed. So it's also related, pretty much, it's related, it started with Tisha B'Av. These three capture the Churban. The question is, why these three? Why? What is the significance? Here's the point I want to make. I have a very good sefer, the Shari Nechama, and he explains something very, very important. There's a very big difference between Haruge Beitar and the Churban Beis HaMikdash. When Rome destroyed the Bayis Sheni, the Beis HaMikdash, and they conquered Yerushalayim, it's clear as day their goal was not to destroy the Jewish people. Their goal was to control the Jewish people. Not to destroy, to control. We're the boss. You pay taxes to us. We're in charge. We're the Balabatim. We want there to be a nation called a nation of Am Yisrael, but our version, our way, where we call the shots. And they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash as part of that process. Harugi Beitar was to destroy the Jewish people, period. It wasn't just we want to wipe these people off the map, like Hitler, Yimach Shemo. This nation should not exist. It's a very different sorrow. That's one of the things that happened on Tisha B'Av. Now, the Gemara lumps together three. There was Beitar, to destroy, there should not be a nation of Jews, period. Number two, if there is going to be a nation of Jews, then the Jews are under our control. And then there's a third type of korban which are lumped together called the korban of Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. So the question is, where does that fit into the picture of korban that we group together as in the total picture of korban? So I don't have a clear answer, but it suddenly bothers me very, very much. And there is one element that maybe opens up sheds some light upon this, and that is, why were they destroyed in Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim? So Chazal just say something very, very simple. They don't mince words, and they we live in a generation where we don't know why things happen. Okay, none of the Rishonim tell us why the first crusade happened. Quiet, we don't know. Yet almost every tragedy that happened in Chazal, they tell us why it happened. That's the difference between us and them.
Is it because they stayed in Egypt?
So Chazal just say, it's Poshet. There's an Isser de Oraisa le-Soshel, you're not allowed to return to Egypt. The Torah says it three times. Three separate Loisa says, don't you dare ever go back to Golis. Don't you dare. Do not return back to Egypt. Because the Jews were in blatant violation of this in an extreme way, and they lived a life of extraordinary wealth and success in Egypt, that's why they were destroyed to nothing. And they just make it, they said as a matter of fact, it says in Torah, three times don't return. They returned there, they lived it up with such a magnificent way, in total violation. Hashem doesn't tolerate this. They were destroyed. This is one of the three elements of Chorban in Chorban. Chorban number one is the Goyim control us. Chorban number two is they want to wipe us off the face of the earth. Chorban number three is we destroy ourselves. It's the Chorban that we do to ourselves. No one told us to go back to Egypt. No one dragged us by the hand and took us back to Egypt. We, on our own, decided to go there. We went there. We destroy ourselves. And this is a mashal, a dugma, for, unfortunately, we mourn over what we do. We can't blame all of our problems on other people. Everyone in their own personal life knows. There are certain things that you blame Hashem for. Everyone has tainus on Hashem. It's your fault, Hashem. And then there are things you blame your parents, and you blame your relatives, and you blame this one, you blame that one, you blame people. And then every honest person will say, I can't blame Hashem. I can't blame my parents and my rebbeim. I can't blame my wife. I have no one to blame but myself. I did it to myself. Every person in their life has things they have to be honest and say, I can't blame. That's what Tisha B'Av is. Tisha B'Av, Chazal summarized Tisha B'Av in three, in the whole pasuk. Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadai miday Esav. The first kol, the first tsar is Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. The second kol Yaakov is Beitar. And the yadai miday Esav is the Beis HaMikdash. We mourn for three things on Tisha B'Av. We mourn for the fact that the Goyim, the Umay Sa'olam, they control us. They control us. We mourn over the fact that they try to uproot us from the face of the earth. And then we mourn. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to make sense out of it. And this is different. We mourn over what we've done to ourselves. Chazal make it very clear. Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim is no one's fault but our own. It was not destroyed because of sinas chinam. Over the Avodah Zarah, even though they did terrible things there. They blew around the Gemara. Why was it destroyed? What are you doing there? You don't belong there. You belong in Eretz Yisrael. Who asked you to go there? And if you're there already, who asked you to live it up? You did it to yourself. You did what you're not supposed to. I told you, don't go back to Egypt. We at times are our worst enemy. And on Tisha B'Av, we mourn for that. And hopefully we learn the lesson not to be our own worst enemy. It appears that this is such a major, horrible thing that I just said, that Chazal didn't even want to say it in the five terrible things that happened on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, five things happened. They received the report about Eretz Yisrael, the Meraglim. They, Bayis Rishoin, Bayis Sheni, Beitar, V'necha Shohir. What about what it says here in the Gemara Beferish, HaKol Kol Yaakov Adayim De'Yesof, and this whole event started on Tisha B'Av. So you'll answer no, because it didn't really, wasn't destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The whole thing started. They fasted on the day when the Kesar had a baby. All right, you have a technical answer. But the truth is, some things are so painful, Chazal doesn't even want to say it. But they do group it together. And it's a terrible tragedy. And part of the Bein HaMetzarim is to reflect upon the problems that we make for ourselves, and we mourn for ourselves, our own mistakes. Not that it should be an end, but it should be a springboard for improvement, correction, that we should not any longer have to deal with these things. We should only make the correct decisions. And we should be zoicha to the good Meher Benu Amen. Have a wonderful day.